is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 4th of March, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Welcome back from the weekend. It was a nice one. I hope it was a nice one for everyone. I originally entitled today's show, "What could the government spend $130,000 on? Like, where is it needed?" After learning that the government spent $100,000 on travel to Grand Bahama post the death of Obi Wilchcombe, and that the government removed $25,000 from the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities and another $5,000 from another line item in the Ministry of Social Services budget to hold a memorial for Obi Wilchcombe on behalf of the staff of the Ministry of Social Services and several other ministries at Bahama, I thought to myself, well, what could the government have spent that money on, as opposed to what it was spent for? Now, let's make a note. The $100,000 that was spent in travel to Grand Bahama post the death of Obi Wilchcombe, we talked about that last week. The government indicated that a part of the time that they were on the island was spent engaging their voter base. I thought that the state's response was, to say the least, was the word glib. I thought it was, I would say, rude. That's a nice, simple word. I thought it was rude. And I'm going to find a quote just in case you haven't read it for yourself. Quote from a statement from the Office of the Prime Minister. On days during which he conducted official business and then at night met with Bahamians in his capacity as leader of his party, should he have flown back to Nassau, then returned on another flight paid for by the party? Whom precisely would that have served? This attempt to generate controversy defies common sense. The Prime Minister and his team have generated more than $2 billion in new investments in our family islands, the statement continues. And we are working to expand solar energy on multiple islands. So the Prime Minister plans to continue traveling to our islands to oversee these and other initiatives and to visit with and hear from family islanders. Bahamians will decide for themselves if the progress they see justifies the cost of his visits. It's the part where they said, what you want him to do? You want him to fly to Nassau in the morning on government, fly to Grand Bahama on government business in the morning, and then take a flight back to Nassau and catch another flight to Grand Bahama in the evening for party business. No. I'm insulted that you even suggested it. Because what you could do is what they call it, like pro rata. Like if the Prime Minister spent 70% of his time on government business and 30% of his time on party business, then maybe the party should cover 30% of the costs. Yeah? It's so simple. If 30% of the time was spent on party business, maybe the party should pay for 30% of the cost, especially since they save money by not paying $30,000 at least towards Obi Wilchcombe's memorial. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How are you doing?
Good morning, Erin Green. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show. Yeah. This is my question to you. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister flew to Grand Bahama on a plane. Was it just him and been two other people, or was the plane full? We saw a lot of people coming off the plane. I want to know if the people who are party members who accompanied the Prime Minister, did they pay for the ticket? Or because the Prime Minister happened to go in there, they say, let me catch this free ride. Who is supposed to pay for their ticket? Or is there such a thing as a free ticket because I'm going there?
Well, the leader of the opposition earlier this week, last week, responded to the Prime Minister and the entire affair. The first article I found was on Friday, investigate $100,000 travel expense at by election. Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard said the Davis administration misused public funds when $100,000 was spent to cover travel for Family Island trips that included events encouraging people to vote for the Progressive Liberal Party's candidate in the West Grand Bahaman and Bimini by-election. Quote from Mr. Pintard, we must remind them that Article 131 of the Constitution stipulates that sums taken from the Consolidated Fund can only be used for public purposes as approved by Parliament. Mr. Pintard said in a statement yesterday, so that would have been Thursday, the 29th of February. Quote from Mr. Pintard again, this is further amplified in Section 53 of the Public Finance Management Act 2023. So if government funds were used to transfer people who were not traveling for the purpose of government business, but traveling for the purpose of party business, authorization should have been sought in Parliament. Or it should have been brought to Parliament. At the very least, Parliament should be aware through whatever procedure or process is required by law.
And let's pause there or stick a pin in it, like you normally say, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, we had a discussion about Ministry of Tourism having trying to debate a new law to have funds not go into the consolidated fund where there needs to be a debate and
right, and, but to be diverted to or transferred to the Tourism Development Fund.
Now, with the Constitution saying that every money spent out of the consolidated fund needs to be explained. And now we have a fund, a proposed tourism fund. Nothing has to be explained. They just need to do an audit.
When I read the bill, I don't recall any provisions that speak to that, right? A provision similar to one found in legislation that governs the consolidated fund and its use. But it's an important note. Before the bill is passed, perhaps they need to ensure that those types of measures are also included for the Tourism Development Fund.
Usually when separate funds outside of the consolidated fund, right? Like the disabilities...
The commission.
When it's in their possession, they are not controlled by the consolidated fund and the mandate there. They are controlled by the Auditor General, who just comes and basically explain where the money was spent. They can spend it on whatever they want.
Right.
So it's not that they mandated to spend on a particular thing. Once it's there, they could say, hey, I want to have a fare, and that fare can be paid out of their budget or whatever it is without any explanation or say, no, this is not designated for that. So again, with that Tourism Development Fund going there, right, mm-hmm. and not having to explain each project, right, where it's slated for, I'm just concerned. Especially the donation part, that they could get donated money. From who? And why are they donating money to our Ministry of Tourism?
Right, and is an explanation required? Does that person then come under scrutiny of the Ministry of National Security? Mm. Right? Is there a list? Have you already identified people or circumstances in which you are not allowed to receive funds? Mm. Right? Has any of that been done? I have another question. Here's my question. If we have a minister of Grand Bahama, then why is the Prime Minister's presence required in Grand Bahama to the extent suggested by statements from the Office of the Prime Minister? In the explanation, right, for this $100,000, I thought it was quite haughty and unnecessary that the Prime Minister had to come and sign this and he had to be here to meet with these people. Here's my question. Right, and I wrote it down just so I wouldn't forget it. What is the role of the Minister for Grand Bahama if the PM is required for every discussion, every development, every decision, or deal. Right? Why does he have to travel back and forth? And why is it that significant meetings are not taking place in New Providence in the office of the Prime Minister?
How are they supposed to take picture if they do everything in Nassau?
And cameras don't work in New Providence?
No. You got to be on the ground to take pictures.
Sure, you can have a PR moment, but why would he and the entire delegation need to travel for these discussions if you have a minister for Grand Bahama? And do we expect that to continue now that you have the minister for Grand Bahama and you have, I think, is it parliamentary secretary responsible for Grand Bahama or something like that? In
all big deals goes through the prime minister. That's why the union always demand that they need to speak to the prime minister, because the minister who in charge of them makes no sense. Just skip above all of them and go straight to the prime minister one time. All bucks, all final decisions ends with him.
I find that troubling, because then now we have to ask the question, well, what is the role of Mr. Kingsley Smith within that ministerial space? It's not accounting, is it?
No.
Don't y'all not assign him any accounting jobs?
No. But, you know,
he doesn't even know what. So the point is, though, why is it that the prime minister would have to travel to this extent? Now that we have a minister responsible for Family Island Affairs.
It is what it is, Erin.
Why would the prime minister?
You want accountability. And I'm trying to say, Erin, is what it is.
I want accountability. I want transparency.
That was transparent. They tell you they plan to spend it again. They like they lie or hide it. They plan to continue to spend. You know that.
So this morning I wanted to...
Oh, before you transition.
Yes, sir.
What today's date is?
Today is the 4th of March.
What happened on March 1st? Shouldn't there be some kind of declaration of parliamentary whatever it is?
There is... okay, so I know one thing that came into force on March 1st was the adjustment of boat registration fees.
No, I ain't talking about that.
But tell me what you're talking about.
Declaration. March 1st is Declaration Day.
Oh, March 1st is Declaration Day.
Yes.
I was going to leave it, man, as a surprise and wait until March 31st, because that's when you could start putting people in jail day.
Yeah.
I like that day.
One would assume that there would be in some conversation that, yes, we start getting the names in of the parliamentarians, the permanent secretaries, those.
We had that conversation.
Yeah,
the gentleman said that he went to Grenada, took part in the meeting, and then he realized they don't have any admin machines or computers, and that's why they are unable to gazette. I mean, that's what it sounded like he was saying. Because what he wanted to do was he wanted to establish a portal, I guess, on the government's new digital space, My Gateway. He wants to establish a portal where people could access, right, the declarations and the information contained within the public disclosure process. And I'm not sure if he knows that nothing can be published to the website until it's gazetted. The problem isn't that the information is not accessible in digital form. The problem is y'all refuse to gazette as required by law. And then you refuse to follow through on the law that says that there's a fine and there could even be jail time if individuals do not declare. And it's so savvy because you can only prosecute an individual if you know that they didn't declare. But we've been left for years to just presume that nobody declared.
Yeah.
Or maybe everybody declared and didn't publish, which leaves like a judge and a jury in a difficult space to determine what to do. Because could you lock up the entire parliament, opposition and governing party, for not making public declarations and gazetting them? I mean, I guess you could, because the law requires that they be gazetted, and we just don't know, Mr. Newry.
We don't know, and we're comfortable.
But I tell you what I do know. Somebody that thinks that an adding machine, because when you say adding machine, you know the big calculator?
Mm-hmm.
The one with the big buttons you press down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he meant by adding machine, right?
The daisy wheel one, yeah.
That's the missing link in the mystery of the disappearing disclosures.
Yeah.
Got some texts here, Mr. Newry. First text, Exactly, Cecil. Who did that $100,000 cover? $130,000 could have been invested into farming to help farmers secure their farmland by making road conditions better to access the farms in order to protect them from thieves. Tomorrow, I want to talk about agricultural theft, agriculture and agricultural theft for my family island residents who are having a problem with agricultural theft and other agricultural issues. The toll-free line to call is 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720, toll-free for family island residents. The other numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Text line powered as always by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. We're going to be talking farming tomorrow and agricultural theft. Mr. Newry, do you know what predial larceny is?
No.
I bet you half the police force doesn't know what predial larceny is. It's agricultural theft. I didn't know until I saw the big sign on Cowpen Road opposite the entrance or exit to Golden Isles Road. That's the detention center road, Golden
yes.
Isles Road.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see. I had to go look it up. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Good morning. I had a six-hour blackout yesterday. Stewfish Drive from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. BPL, no explanation. We're going to talk about BPL in a moment, Texter, but if you're listening, Stewfish Drive. Stewfish Drive was out yesterday for 6 hours and prime hours of a Sunday, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Another text, Aaron Green, do you know what the word commingling means? No public servant from PM to support staff are allowed to mix public funds with private funds. This is inexcusable and cannot become the norm. Morning, Aaron. That ministry in the PM's office is worthless. Money wasted. Producer, can we get this call, please? Thank you. Morning. Morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. Morning, Mr. Neri.
Morning. How you doing?
Ms. Green, you don't say your agricultural theft. You know, you usually use your Bohemian vernacular, agricultural thiefing.
Ah.
I love it when you use your Bohemian vernacular. You bring the culture of Bohemian talking right back in. You make it sound so good.
I had to fancy it up for perchance the lawyers take interest in it. You know, like we have 2,000 plus lawyers in the region and nobody seems to be interested in agricultural thiefing.
Yes, that's it right there. I love it when you do that. Have a good day.
You too, sir. You too. Another text. In the news last week. Okay, y'all give me a second so I could read this. I just have a lot of words. I have to make sure I'm getting them right.
You scared?
Just slightly. Because I think we may be referencing something in the courts.
In the meantime, as you read that, we have another caller on the line. Producer, pass that caller through.
Okay. Anyway, the texter says, basically, with some stories in the news, I'm extremely wary of Chester Cooper putting forward this bill with this, quote, gift language, which you referenced.
I don't like the gift language.
Section there.
I don't like it. And we have a lot of intellectual and constitutional lawyers out there now who are nationalists, former prime ministers, former ministers in general, mm-hmm. who know good governance, who should say, hey, I hear you. I know you're trying to do well for the Bahamas. It's not that I think you're doing anything untoward, mm-hmm. but this isn't good governance. You can't do this.
Absolutely.
You know, this is not good for us here.
I wonder, where's the Bar Association? Where is the judicial community, right? Where is the jurisprudence? Mm-hmm. Why aren't these people engaging in public discourse about these issues?
Well, at least educating us on why it's good.
Right. Good morning, caller.
Golly, this is Stacking Waste along with you and Yuri Aaron.
Morning, Bremen.
Yes, we need justice, Lorna, and it's the Bahamas here. Aaron, what I want to ask you, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the Prime Minister traveling, right?
Yes.
He's supposed to have a writer for the medias.
Yeah, PR person. The,
say it again?
The PR person. They should be able to write. They should be able to take pictures, right?
Right.
How would you?
So my point is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he carry those type people? Because we're not getting from the media what he had done when he goes those places.
Right, like does he have someone assigned him, like maybe in the U.S. system? They write a story for everything that the president does.
I know that the thing is, we just be spending so much money, so much tax, and we getting no information. The Bahamas flat. And the thing is, what I don't like, everybody, I won't say everybody, but most people, because... No, I feel like I'm going to make that. Anyhow, plenty of people believe that they just could come here, okay, or live here, and they just could do what they want to do with our money. And when the government started to put tax on us, nothing happened for us, or nothing happening for us.
Yes.
Something has to be given.
Thank you, Bremen. Thank you very much. Another text. Aaron, the problem is we don't have a budget department like in the United States where everyone in that department have a master's degree in budget, not a CPA or a financial analyst. Aaron, have you ever Googled and see how much hundreds of millions of dollars the U.S. taxpayers pay for the president and especially the Secretary of State to travel 1,000,000 miles and his big government jet? And Texter, most people understand the need for travel. Most people understand that we live in an archipelago. We have an archipelagic exterior. It's going to require some travel. But the question is, why do you have such a large administration? Why do we have what some people would call an overbloated public service? And the prime minister has to travel for everything, right? And why have you built relationships with communication services providers, but you are not insisting or encouraging them? You know, like the way that the minister encouraged employers to urge their staff to take the vaccine? Like, why aren't you encouraging them to enhance the service and ensure the quality of the service so the government could employ more telecommunication services in their work? Because if you have an archipelagic exterior, you already acknowledge that a large percentage of what has to be done will be done via technology and online. So the question, people are not concerned that the PM is spending so much money. I think here's the concern. The concern is, did you not know you were going to spend this much money when you made the budget? And if you didn't, then what does that speak to your forecasting abilities, your projections, right? Like, secondarily, like Bremen raised, are we getting return on investment? Are we getting good return on investment? You're not telling us what you're doing. You're not telling us why you're doing it the way you're doing. You're not telling us what the results are. Right? And we are left to find out after the deal is done or through some party-affiliated media house that refuses to actually identify as a part of a party. That's how we have to hear about it. Okay. All right, Ms. Nuri, one more text. Re-agricultural theft, what do you think will happen when farmers start growing marijuana? I have an idea. The text then says, I ain't call no name. I think once again, this is an example of a not properly thought out initiative. See, because this initiative is to create an industry. It's not to authorize in law or create authorizations in law for people to cultivate, to consume, to process, to export. That's not what it is, because those things exist already. This legislation is to create an industry. So the only thing I could think is that the delays are because the government is constantly being presented with proposals on how to expand or make more effective, efficient, or is a capitalist word I want, like to be able to generate more profit, right? Like they're getting constant proposals and perhaps they are pausing to re-examine what the potential of a cannabis industry in the Bahamas could be.
And Aaron, I know you were about to transition, right? But I want you to explain a word for me, irony, irony. I want to know if this is appropriate in context. Atlantis is celebrating 25 years of opening the Royal Towers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if this is ironic or this is irony, that as they celebrate their 25th year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are donating $200,000 to various government and charities. and they're suggesting that the national disability disabilities people receive some of the money, but and they say they need no more money. I wonder if that's irony, that they're getting some of the money that they already paid out and say they don't need it.
Listen,
is that irony though?
But for the fact that it's a disabilities community, I would tell them, don't give them the money, they say they don't need it, but it's a disabilities community. Here's my question. Are the people who are making decisions...
Well, I take the money.
...within the ministry on behalf of disabled people, is the chair of the commission themselves a member of the community of people living with disabilities?
She's a political appointee.
Right, and perhaps that's what it is, like there's a lack of proximity and empathy. Two more texts before we transition. Ms. Green, are you agreeing with the caller that we are paying taxes and are receiving nothing? Stop saying the PM is traveling everywhere. You're coming across as a person trying very hard to make sense, but sorry, today I'm hearing a bunch of garbage. So maybe you didn't hear the part where I said that the vast majority of people understand why the Prime Minister would need to travel so much. You missed the part when I said that we understand that it's an archipelago, and because of an archipelagic exterior, the Prime Minister will have to travel. You miss all of that, Dexter? That's what you missed. What we said was, if you are traveling so much, tell us what the return on investment is, right? Because a whole lot of y'all don't understand why the government subsidizes certain things like Bahamas Air and BPL, I don't know, BPL, right? We know why you subsidize Bahamas Air, because you have an archipelagic exterior. And people need to be able to travel. Family Islanders, I think under the Constitution, have an equal and equitable right to access national and natural resources compared to Nassuvians and people on the island of New Providence, right? That's why you subsidize. We understand why you subsidize it. What we are asking for is a statement to return on investment. What are we getting for our money? And would you tell us more about why you're traveling? Like, because you remember the Bermuda trip? Like, we didn't even know you were in Bermuda until some controversy was attached to it. So people are saying, why are you traveling? Tell us more. Right? Tell us more about these trips and what the results we can expect are. Be more honest and transparent about what you're doing. And I think the biggest critique is, didn't you know you were going to be spending? See, like when you say to me, oh, we didn't just go because Obi died. We went because we already had a number of things in the works. Y'all didn't already budget that? Hmm. See what I'm saying? Texter? I'm sorry you didn't, like you missed that part, but I'm glad to reiterate it. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Just tuning in. Have you guys spoke on the escape of those Haitians yet? Are you guys dodging the topic? You know, are we dodging the topic?
Any Haitians escaping the Bahamas?
Not in the Bahamas.
I talked about the Bahamas today.
Well, okay. I get that. I mean, that's one. You did ask Mr. Nuri. If you'd asked me, you'd have gotten a different answer. Text.
I talked about the Bahamas today. All kind of Bahamian news on a Monday.
In another text, Mr. Lang in the U.S., the president campaign. Oh, because normally Mr. Lang. Remember when you made that point that normally Mr. Lang speaks about these things?
Yes.
In the U.S., the president campaign has to pay half of the bill for the U.S. Air Force One if his trip is for his campaign, like a rally or fundraising, and not for his office as president. His staff and security transporting of 30 cars the government pays for. So I guess the vehicular transportation government pays for. Thank you, Texter. Thank you for that information. And the text says, okay, Mrs. Bethel has an autistic son. Thank you very much, Texter, for sharing that. And I just want to say that while I do use political satire to get points across, this particular situation is detrimental and requires critical interrogation. Because I refuse to tolerate a sensible...
Do you know, Aaron, that a number of the public schools do not have wheelchair accessibility? Imagine what $20,000 could have done. I mean, they say they didn't need the money.
Right.
But imagine if they could use that $20,000 to make sure every public school have access, at least to go to the office.
Let's go to the call and then I can tell you what I came up with.
But this transition, we're talking to...
Hold on. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead.
Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Rich, you're holding on. So the $200,000, they shared up. You say one of the group is the disabled community. You have any idea who that is for?
I would have to go read the article. I'm just looking at the article right now.
You know, you like you said last week, we appreciate us blind people when you all read these stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just yeah, and maybe I was wondering if the Salvation Army there, because they play a major role.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so much you need. I want to encourage companies like Atlantis. That may be a big, big, big company, and they could afford to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe even could do $2 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't the point. I would encourage the other companies out there in civil society to let's help out with these groups, them. I wish all of them could have come together and be one big group and be helping with different matters, but it ain't designed that way.
Papa, I found the article. You ready?
Say that again?
I found the article. Let me read part of it for you.
Yeah, okay.
Atlantis and its partners donated over $200,000 to 5 nonprofit organizations yesterday as the resort continued to celebrate last year's 25th anniversary of its opening. The Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel, the Salvation Army, Lend a Hand Bahamas, the Bahamas National Trust, and the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas each received $55,000. Yeah, $55,000.
When I do the math with 200, I thought that was like 40,000 each.
Listen.
They must have given over 200, eh?
Well, don't watch that. And they're
but they must have given everybody the same thing, eh?
Maybe. But listen, I'm going to go delve into the article a little
but listen,
later.
Hold on. Before I forget, I don't write these things down. I can let you go into it, right? But someone say something, or text say something about immigration or something just now. And someone say, well, they didn't hear nothing or something like that.
No, the article's in the paper. I mean, this is a story.
What I said, but you see anything in the paper talking about what this man who's in charge of a defense force saying how we need to deal with
a blockade down in the south?
Try to do something
down
that way.
Yes, man.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't read it, eh?
No, I didn't read it.
I missed it?
No, I didn't read it. It's in today's Guardian, RBGF.
Yeah, man, that's a serious thing, because I was telling y'all guys last week about Takes and Cakes, what they was doing on the way. I know if y'all had catch it or whatsoever.
I'm going to be honest with you, Papa. This is an important story. I saw the headline, right? I ain't gonna talk about BPL in the last 15 minutes of the show.
Right, go ahead. I believe because a lot of us sympathize with what the Haitian people going through, and we really want to help them. Sometimes we don't really anyhow.
I got you.
That's something we got to take serious.
Absolutely, Papa. The article is in the front of today's Tribune. RBDF to create blockade in southern Bahamas after Haiti jailbreak. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force has mobilized to create a blockade in the southern Bahamas after reports that hundreds of inmates at a prison in Port-au-Prince escaped over the weekend. You guys, we're going to a break. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9
You
want
me to help to talk about this today?
No, we're not talking about it. I just read the title of the article and the first paragraph. We're talking about BPL,
yes,
sir.
I thought it was BPL.
You guys, stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Joining me is Mr. C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Okay, Mr. Nuri, I got a text here that says, y'all need to get serious, you know. You have criminals possibly coming to this country that could kill and rape people, and this isn't top news. You guys want to be posted up on the radio and sympathizing with Haitians? Listen, you think not talking about the story means we're sympathizing with Haitians? I want to talk about BPL. I've been wanting to talk about BPL from pre-Alstom. You know when Fred Ramsey was found guilty in the court, right? That story, Alstom. I wanted to talk about it when I told you all Alstom 2.0 is on the way, right? That's just like a hashtag. It doesn't mean that Alstom, the company, was actively involved in the second iteration of crisis. What it meant was that if we don't resolve Alstom, the first one, properly, surely the crisis will arise again. And here we are, March 2024. And you remember last year when the Prime Minister said there's something rotten at BPL? Mm. He said it.
Perhaps this is his response now to correct it. So we need to do it. But my concern, I have no problem with what the Prime Minister have to conclude with him. Mm-hmm. My issue is the conversation. Why need to have public pressure to give us information on what is happening?
At BPL. Yeah. The Texas said, get serious, please. These Negroes could be in your house right now. Get serious. What they could do with no power? What they could do? I mean, hopefully they in it. Imagine the people who can't get inside their apartment complex, inside their gated community, or inside their building because there's no power and everything, all the security systems are electronic. Imagine that for decades and decades, people have been paying light bills that are the same as their mortgage and their rent, while at the same time, politicians demand that we cheer them on and revere them as successful governors, right? There's something horribly wrong at BPL. There's something horribly wrong at the Ministry of Energy and Transport. And Mr. Nuri, remember when the Prime Minister shuffled both ministers and then renamed ministries?
Yes.
And I spent so much time trying to have a conversation about the rationale behind the new composition of ministries.
Connecting the different names, yes.
Wondering why would you split up Ministry of Works in the way that you did? Wondering why utilities are now being governed by parliamentary secretaries and members of parliament that have been assigned to the office of the prime minister? Why there was the creation of the ministry called Energy and Transport, and why was energy put in the same ministry as transport? All of these things. And here we are today, and I bet you if we had demanded the government give us a rationale for why they're separating BPL and energy from Ministry of Works and the other ministries, and why the ministry has been composed as Energy and Transport, right, that we would have a better sense of what it is they're doing, or they would have realized that they actually have to explain to people what it is that they're doing. All of the stories are important. But guess what? The prison break in Haiti, the potential blockade by the Bahamas government, still not more important than people in the ministry responsible for people with disabilities thinking that they could just move $80,000 because we don't really need it. The weakest and the most vulnerable among you are being disregarded, treated like second, third, fourth class, non-existent citizens. These are the things we're going to talk about today, and maybe tomorrow we're going to talk about migration, even though I have agriculture on the show. Somebody said, great show as usual. I put in a sign in the ocean saying Bahamians in the opposite direction, or Bahamas in the opposite direction. There are rules about the sea as well. So, Mr. Nuri, let's go to BPL quickly. I'm going to have to pick it up later in the week. BPL union leader claims staff in panic amid speculation of a major shift planned for Bahamas Power and Light. Bahamas Electrical Workers Union President Kyle Wilson said yesterday that his members are in a state of panic and fear. Around BPL right now, there's a lot of rumors, said Wilson, who appeared on the ZNS talk show, The Final Word. The staff are frustrated. They are in panic mode. The staff feel as if everyone knows what's going on with them except for them. Lots happening this weekend. So I'm going to read off the names of the articles that I found. If people are following the BPL issue, here are some stories in the news from Friday to today. Again, BPL union leader claims staff in panic. Second story, so Franklin says his company's not involved in BPL assets takeover. That's a headline from Friday. Producer, I see we have a call on the board. Chairman of Focal, Sir Frank Lee Wilson, told Guardian Business yesterday that rumors his company or some new subsidiary of his consortium of companies is said to take over assets of BPL are categorically untrue. Quote, we are not taking over any assets of BPL so you can put an end to the rumor mill, he said. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Good morning.
Morning.
Aaron, CA, hey. When you enlist in the Army, do you know what the saying is in the Army?
No, sir. Tell me.
It is not for you to ask the how and the why,
mm-hmm.
but to do and to die.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Army.
Not me.
You are in the Army.
No, sir.
It's not for you, Aaron.
I ain't prescribed.
You're
I ain't
supposed to ask the how and the why. You're just supposed to do and die.
Right, like, but I'm not in the Army. I'm not in the gang. I'm not in the party. I'm not required to follow any of those rules.
You are citizens of the Bahamas. You elected those people. You give them proxy. You say go and govern for us.
But that's and why you, I had a...
We gave them, according to them, we gave them the right to run this country, as Mr. Chester Cooper said, that the Bahamian people gave them the mandate to govern this country, and they will govern it as they see fit.
That's what he said?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
And so that is the attitude. They will run this country according to what they
see fit.
Because they have their agenda. Until we, as Bahamian people, let them know that the power in the people is greater than the people in power, they will not change. They will continue to use us and abuse us.
Thank you, caller.
You know?
Absolutely. So. Thank you. Thank you very much. They ain't sending me to war. I ain't your army. I ain't signed up for anything. And I surely wouldn't join an army. There are people who say they in charge what do they do in the army? They don't go to no exercises, they don't participate in any parades, they just sit on the bleachers getting fat and fat and fatter and fatter every day. Here's another from Twitter yesterday. Ministry of Energy and Transport Joe Beth L. Colby Davis said this, quote, Bahamians agree that big changes at BPL are long overdue. I would like to say here, we do agree. We just obviously don't agree on what those big changes are. Our government's energy reform roadmap is a comprehensive plan to reduce prices for Bahamian families and businesses, increase reliability and efficiency, add cleaner sources of energy, upgrade and modernize our outdated grid, upskill and train Bahamian workers, and strengthen the financial position of BPL, which will remain a government-owned utility. We are really looking forward to sharing important updates on these exciting and much-needed reforms in the coming days and weeks. Here's what I would like an update on. On October 4th, 2022, the government released a statement, the Prime Minister released a statement on the fuel surcharge increase policy, aka the glide path policy. That statement by the Prime Minister indicated that these changes were short-term, quote-unquote. These changes, and I'm sure he said, let me reassure you, these changes are short-term. Here we are. Today is the 4th. That means the 29th, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd. We are 5 days past the February 28th, the last period of decrease listed on the schedule, and we still have not returned from whence we started. In fact, there's been no statement as to whether the fuel surcharge is going to drop back to its original figure as implied by the Prime Minister in his statement on October the 4th, 2022. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good show.
Thank you.
I would just like to say they don't have to explain to us what they are doing if they don't feel like it. But a day is coming when we could make a decision and we know exactly what to do. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
God. I know, like, I don't like how that lady talk about my government. These things will be explained eventually. It's just taking too long for them to explain it, and we need to encourage our government to remember to be accountable. But let's explain. This is the most forward, revealing
government we've had in a while.
We have not had a statement as to the status of the building that BPL workers did not want to work in because it's falling apart. And I am... We haven't had a statement to the status of the contractual relationship between BPL, the Bahamas government, and Wärtsilä yet.
Yeah, but...
No buts here.
They tend to be transparent.
We haven't had a statement to... I mean, just because they don't close the doors, it don't mean they're transparent. Maybe they're foolish and don't know what the purpose of doors are. It's not just mean they're being transparent.
But the point is, I like this announcement that Joe Batcoby gave. I mean, it's not meat on it. And I wait for more information what they mean.
I'm more concerned for Kyle Wilson.
Yeah?
Because I remember Kyle Wilson saying, listen, God... I mean, that's not exactly what it said, but it sounded like he said, God tell me, trust Joe Beth Colby.
Yes.
I went on a walk about with her, and she said some things, and I felt good about it.
Yes, I remember that.
He couldn't tell us what she said, and he couldn't tell us why he felt good about it, but here he is now...
Going to the Prime Minister.
Stop BPL deal, the Davis administration. Producer, let's take that call. Is facing increased pushback from Bahamas Power and Light unions over a deal.
He met with the Prime Minister. Things change.
But he wrote a letter after he met with the Prime Minister.
I think the letter just gone out late. He cool with the Prime Minister now.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Leary.
It's always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Listen, Aaron, I'm trying to, because, you know, Mr. Leary is saying that the answers are coming, slow but coming.
They're coming.
I would like to ask you a question. What was the first financial... putting them out situation happened under this government? Because I'm trying to remember if he ever got any answer from that, and that's been from how long now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get at what Mr. Neary said. I want to know if we should wait until, I don't know, say a week before the next general election when they stand up on stage and then tell us, well, you know, these are the answers. We've been waiting for them and they just come out yesterday type of situation.
I don't like what you're implying.
Mr. Neary? We all love you. Have a blessed day.
I go no further than that. Take care.
Listen, I'm going to go back to BPL union leader claims staff in panic.
Panic is such a strong word.
But does that matter?
The Prime Minister, their job secure.
Word?
They straight. I want to know what this new company, this new partnership, this was being just management agency who come in to manage BPL, who supposed to invest new money into it, what their goal and objective is. They can't keep all the staff because they wouldn't be good managers if they're sensible. Some of them got to go home.
So you saying that the Prime Minister's a liar then?
Me? I would never call. You know better. I'm just saying that good management sends some of them home. Something wrong.
Here's another article. Government silent on BPL board resignation reports in today's Guardian. The government has over the last several days remained silent on reports that two members of the board of Bahamas Power and Light resigned in the middle of the Davis administration's push to transform BPL through a deal with private entities.
Only two? Easily replaced, man.
FNM demands answers on BPL, another article from today's Guardian. The Free National Movement yesterday called on the government to fully report on its reported deal to transfer the operations of Bahamas Power and Light to private entities. FNM leader Michael Pintard accused the Davis administration of seeking to privatize the public utility in secret. The article goes on, the government could not legally privatize BPL, however, without bringing the matter to Parliament.
Now we found they're not privatizing it. They're just getting management.
No, that's...
They're still privatizing it?
We have no idea. The same way we
you
have
talk
no...
to the union leader.
We have no idea of the stat...
So that's why my complaint and my concern is we just don't know. But since then, the Prime Minister has met with the union and said their jobs are secured and they're not selling BPL. They're just trying to get new funding and new management and technology, and we have to wait now for the information.
Here's another
I'm
article.
Not saying that we shouldn't push an axe.
Here's another article, Fears of BPL Privatization. Producer, let's try take that call dead quick. Fears of BPL privatization, unions and FNM raise concerns at possible PPP deals in today's Nassau Tribune. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
I am good, thank you.
You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to say there's nothing that's happening in secret regarding BPL. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Energy held a press conference at the OPM, and all of the major and some of the smaller press houses were there, and they announced what the government was intending on doing. As a matter of fact, the request for proposal is closing, I think, sometime in this month.
When was it opened? When was the request for proposals open? When was it made public?
It was open about a month ago, maybe a month and a half. I can't remember the date right now, but I was at that press conference, right? And so it's pretty strange and peculiar that the leader of the opposition would be putting misleading information into the public domain that could simply be easily verified by a telephone call to the ministry or even to any of the local
you mean BPL
companies.
You mean the ministry that manages BPL? It's as easy as making a call? Antoine, I would like to shut this call down right now because you take us for goons. Because you think it's just as easy as that? First of all, you're right. Pintard shouldn't be saying a thing. Pintard should not say a thing.
Well,
producer, put it on pause.
Right?
Producer, put it on pause. First of all, I don't have a partner. Don't be disrespectful. Second of all, considering that you are a known proponent of the PLP party, your contributions and engagement has to be stronger. It has to be more critical and more sensible than the average caller. Third of all, I will say this as we close the show. My critique of Mr. Pintard is don't let yourself forget that the FNM is equally responsible for this crisis as the PLP. This is not going for any back and forth. Oh, the FNM should know. The PLP should know. The PLP knew what the FNM knew when the FNM was in power. And the FNM knew what the PLP knew when the PLP is in power. You know who didn't know? The people. The people didn't know what y'all know and what y'all keep for political expediency and to maintain your own political narrative. I have no problem with members of parties calling in. But if you're a known supporter of a party or a mouthpiece or a PR agent or a representative, you got to come stronger than that, Antoine. Please. Thank you. I get about 6 articles to read from. I'll have to get back to it this week, but I want to get to the texts. Good morning, Aaron. Are they going to do the same thing to BPL that happened to BTC? If yes, are we really better off? Because the service from both entities is subpar. Please, please, Mr. PM, don't do another BTC. Another text. BPL will be cutting back on staff, my view. Producer, bring Antoine back on. I am sorry, Antoine, that we were unable to have a conversation this morning. Now, you guys, I got a trainee producer on. Okay, let's go. Caller, I'll be coming to you, and you got 30 seconds. Antoine, you got 30 seconds.
Make it quick, Antoine.
That's what you use your 30 seconds to do, Antoine?
Because you get disconnected.
Yeah, it must have been a technical difficulty. Mr. Newry, there's lots to talk about on BPL, but we are all out of time today. Callers, my apologies. I'm not sure what's going on with the board. I tried to sneak you in. The FNM, there's no moral high ground for them in this discussion. What we need to do is to take the politics out of governance. Focus on governance. Because this BPL issue, this energy issue, is detrimental for Bahamians today and for future Bahamians. You guys have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.